It's Wednesday, November 18th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Coming up, we hear the latest from Paris as investigators continue to probe Friday's attack. Terror experts provide VOA with some new details.
There's some question about how easily they will be able to implement some of the quite far-reaching proposals that have been made in association with things like the TPP in particular.
Leaders gather in Asia to discuss trade and security issues. Also ahead, Hollywood stars speak out about Paris. It's all on today's International Edition. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has met in Paris with French President François Hollande to discuss different ways to move more effectively in the battle against Islamic State. The talks come days after a series of shootings and suicide bombings that killed at least 129 people in Paris. Correspondent Lisa Bryant is in the French city and spoke with VOA's Susan Yockey about Kerry's visit.
The first thing is that it seems like there might be a ceasefire that could take place between Syria's government and the opposition. He said it could just be weeks away from reality. And that, according to him, it would be a gigantic step. That feeds in to his call today and also French President Hollande's call yesterday for a real concentration in attacking Islamic State spots. Hollande said this yesterday, and then France launched a second wave of airstrikes against IS targets in Raqqa. So there's really a drive right now, it appears, to concentrate on IS and to try to really make some inroads in terms of demolishing their stronghold.
With so many nations involved now, it's going to take a great deal of coordination. It sounds like these are ongoing discussions on how to proceed.
Yes, they are. And in fact, I mean, what Hollande is saying, and of course this has been discussed by other leaders, is to have a real coordination. And, you know, he talked about sort of a sort of grand coalition that would also include Russia. And he said that he will be going to speak with President Barack Obama next week. And he will also be having meetings with Russia's leader Vladimir Putin also on this drive. So his idea, at least, is to really get a coordination that he says has not been the case in the way the international community has responded to IS.
Meanwhile, France continues its military response. Anything new on that?
Yes. Well, there's been two waves of French airstrikes against IS targets in its stronghold of Raqqa in Syria. On top of that, there are a lot of developments that are ongoing and happening closer to home, both in France and in Belgium. French security has been beefed up. There's about 1,500 police, gendarmes, military who are going to be deployed across the country. Many have already been deployed, and for example, you see soldiers on the streets ever since the first set of Paris terrorist attacks in January. And then there have been movements in terms of more information about the suspected terrorists. Two strongholds have been discovered around Paris. There have been arrests made.
Correspondent Lisa Bryant in Paris. In a development just a short time ago, a friendly football match between the Netherlands and host Germany was canceled on short notice because of a highly credible bomb threat at the Hanover Stadium. The local police chief said authorities have concrete evidence that someone wanted to set off an explosive device inside the stadium. The game was called off. Fans who began entering the stadium were told to leave. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and several German and Dutch ministers were to have attended that game. Well, we turn now to our social media segment with International Edition's G. Abby Lee. She's right here in our studio to talk about some of the characters that upstage global leaders, as well as the latest announcement from the world's largest chain of fast food restaurants. Hello, G.
Hi, Jim.
So what's our first story about?
It has to do with something that happened during the G20 summit in Turkey. Jim, if you ever thought no one can steal the thunder from Presidents Obama or Putin, you might want to think again. One of the trending videos on Facebook Tuesday is about three unannounced guests making an appearance at the G20 summit. They are three stray cats casually frolicking around the main stage before the war leaders took to the stage. They ran across the stage and quite literally smelled the roses and left. My favorite post is from NPR, the National Public Radio. It wrote, "Did they come to stage a coup? Hard to say."
Well, that's a tough call indeed. Moving on to the fast food story, what's the latest?
McDonald's has announced it's getting rid of the uber-popular dollar menu. What it is a collection of items that cost $1 each. Instead, they're rolling out a MacPick 2 menu beginning on January 4th. With that, customers get to pick a pair of items for a total of $2 from four choices, including two sandwiches, a small order of French fries, and mozzarella sticks. NBC News posted its report on the announcement and asked, "Should McDonald's ditch the dollar menu?" The first comment reads like this: "If they take away the dollar menu and only make a two-for-two menu available, then the ones who used to spend just a dollar would now be forced to spend $2, which makes more money, a dollar at a time." Another comment that got the most number of likes reads like this: "How about good prices and something healthy?"
Well, that sounds like some people are seeing it as a clever business strategy, while others are asking for some healthier options.
Definitely. And the company has been making that effort in the last decade. I don't know if you've noticed, but they introduced salads back in 2005 and started serving all-day breakfast last month. Jim, if you ask me, those options are not technically healthier, but at least they give off the impression of being so. So I'd say times are changing even for such an iconic fast food chain. Back to you.
Well, thanks for being here, serving that up for us, G. She tweets for our VOA International Edition Twitter account. You can follow it at VOA_IE. And you can also follow G on her very own account at G Abby Lee. This is VOA.
Hi there, this is Larry London, the host of Border Crossings. Nice to meet you. I would love for you to join us each and every day, Monday through Friday, on Border Crossings for requests, dedications, giveaways, and surprise guests. We've got some of today's biggest hitmakers coming into the studio to talk about their music. And all we're missing is you. So join us Monday to Friday, right here on Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This is VOA's International Edition. Media coverage of the Paris attacks was the focus of this week's hashtag VOA television program, which was broadcast earlier today. Our own and very talented Michael Lippin was the host of the show. He joins me in the studio. Michael, what did you learn?
Thanks, Jim. Well, we did have a great panel today to discuss how the media, both traditional and social, have responded to the terrorist assault on Paris. One expert whom I spoke to is Gene Polosinski. He is the chief operating officer of the Newseum Institute here in Washington and also a veteran journalist who specializes in free speech issues. Here is what he had to say about coverage of the Paris attacks by the big U.S. news organizations.
Well, I know there are critics who say that it's gotten a lot more attention than some other incidents around the world because it's Western focused. I think there's certainly a part of it where Western media can identify with themselves with being in Paris and the Western society as opposed to Bangladeshi bloggers who in a series of attacks have been hacked. And there was an attack on a convoy with media in East Africa. But also, I think they've discovered to go where the media is. You know, the media was on the ground there, instantly coverable.
You don't think that was a coincidence?
And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think it was a very strong strategy to say, how do we get that maximum impact? I don't think ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or any of the rest are going to give up attacks in areas that are remote. But I think they've seen now, and they've demonstrated, and they're learning. Part of the chess moves, you put your piece where the maximum attention will be. And that was in Paris, where media was already there. Social media, just huge in France. Instantly and very quick response from traditional media because you're already on the ground. So I think that we're seeing this chess match play out, and that's one of the reasons traditional media was there in such numbers and with such intense coverage right away.
And are the traditional media aware that they might be playing into the hands of the attackers by just giving so much coverage to them?
You know, I think that's a good question. And I think, again, hopefully people both in social media and in traditional media are learning that they're now not just covering a story. They're becoming used and utilized by these groups. And I think that requires some strategy. And it's been done in other ways. I think that social media has responded to the postings of ISIS and others in ways and taking down sites and blocking things. I think we've seen traditional media realize that part of the tactic here is to scare the largest number of people, to frighten the largest number of people as quickly as possible. We're seeing that happen.
Well, that's the view of the media from here in the States. I also spoke via Skype video in the program to a freelance journalist in Paris, Clea Broadhurst. She was on the streets shortly after the attacks began on Friday night. I asked her whether the attacks have led to the French media expressing a rise in nationalistic sentiment or political point scoring, what the French call récupération.
One thing that strikes me is the fact that left-leaning, right-leaning papers are quite united in terms of not trying to make some political recuperations right now, at least we're still in the aftermath. I mean, we'll see in the coming weeks because we have regional elections. So we'll see what happens then. But right now it's more trying to, you know, make sense of what happened and try to answer some questions, and not only for a political party or for some people in particular. It's the whole media have decided to stand together and show that.
Well, you can hear more of our conversation about the media's response to the Paris attacks by going to our hashtag VOA Facebook page and watching the show right there on Facebook. Jim?
And if you haven't seen it already, it is an excellent program. Michael Lippin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
President Obama, meanwhile, has arrived in Asia for two summits, the two-day Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, gathering in Manila. That gets underway Wednesday, and the East Asia meeting scheduled later in the week in Kuala Lumpur. Meetings with allies and heads of state of the participating nations in the just-concluded Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Pact are expected to highlight his visit to the Philippines. The Asian meetings follow a G20 summit in Turkey, which was dominated by events in Paris in the wake of Friday's multiple terrorist attacks that killed nearly 130 people. The 21-member APEC forum says the attacks in France demand a united voice from the global community. We stand in solidarity with the people of France and all victims of terrorism elsewhere. Mark Beeson, a professor of political science and international relations at the University of Western Australia, told VOA's Victor Beatty that while the TPP could be a dominant issue in Manila, it actually underscores the failure of APEC to achieve what it was created for in 1990, that is, trade liberalization. He says the landmark trade deal has great potential, but still faces hurdles in the ratification process.
There's always a big question mark about implementation, particularly in Southeast Asia, because Southeast Asia's also got its own economic cooperation initiatives, the Asia Economic Cooperation area, and there's some question about how successful that's going to be. There's some question about how easily they will be able to implement some of the quite far-reaching proposals that have been made in association with things like the TPP in particular. So there's always a big gap between rhetoric and reality in Southeast Asia in particular.
Aside from the APEC meeting in Manila, there's also going to be an East Asia summit in Kuala Lumpur. In Manila, Philippine officials have indicated that the South China Sea tensions will not be discussed directly by the APEC members, but there could be discussions on the sidelines.
When APEC was established, there was no expectation that it was going to be primarily a sort of leaders' forum in which non-trade issues would actually be discussed. It had a fairly limited agenda, and it's been a product of contingent circumstances to some extent, I think, in the fact that some leaders have wanted to use it to promote other kinds of agendas and other issues that have come up in the interim. So I can understand why some APEC officials in particular might want to try and keep the agenda focused on trade issues. But when you get an organization where some of the world's and the region's in particular most important leaders turn up and there is a chance to discuss important issues of mutual concern, you can understand why that might take priority over what can sometimes be fairly arcane trade issues that don't really capture the same kind of importance.
Well, the President of the United States is in the Philippines even as both countries forge closer defense ties.
And that's going to make things a little bit complicated because clearly the U.S. and the Philippines in particular are very concerned about the so-called rise of China and China's territorial ambitions in the region, which have had a big impact on the Philippines. And the Philippines has tried to reinvigorate its security relationship with the United States, and the United States has been fairly happy to oblige in that regard. So there are a number of things going on in the strategic arena which are going to make isolating or discussing easily those kinds of trade issues much more difficult, because they are sort of technocratic and technical issues in many ways, but they're going to be overshadowed, I think, by these bigger geopolitical concerns and developments that have been happening, not just in Southeast Asia, of course, but in Europe as well. And I think it's going to be difficult to maintain the focus exclusively on issues to do with the Asia-Pacific at this particular get-together as a consequence.
Mark Beeson says while the Philippines is trying to keep South China Sea tensions with China off of the agenda, the impact of the Obama administration's stated intention of rebalancing toward the Asia-Pacific region has been limited by events in the Middle East and Europe. He says that has been disappointing to many regional leaders who viewed the announcement 4 years ago as long overdue. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
As you might imagine, several music and cultural events were canceled because of the terrorist attacks in Paris. But how is the entertainment industry reacting to the attacks? International Edition's David Byrd has this look at how some of Hollywood's stars are dealing with the tragedy.
Jane Fonda calls Paris her second home. The 77-year-old two-time Academy Award winner, who is generating more Oscar buzz for her role in the film Youth, says that she is concerned the attack will make life even more difficult for refugees seeking asylum in Europe.
I have family there, so the first thing I had to do was find out if everybody was okay. You know, my heart just breaks for refugees because it's going to be so much harder now. I mean, it's hard to imagine things could be harder for the refugees, but it's going to become more difficult.
Rachel Weisz, Fonda's co-star in Youth, says that the attacks are a terrible tragedy, something that the whole world feels.
Well, I mean, it's a very hard thing to talk about. Like, I guess all I can really say is it's just an absolutely incredibly terrible tragedy, and my heart goes out to the victims and their families, and just our, you know, I think everyone on planet Earth, our thoughts and our thoughts are with those people. It's a terrible tragedy.
Christian Bale stars in the new film The Big Short, about four outsiders in the world of high finance who predicted the credit and housing bubble of the mid-2000s and decide to take on the big banks for their greed. He says the Paris attacks call for wise leadership and compassion.
It's unbelievable. It's horrifying. And just a desire to somehow let people in Paris know that, you know, the world is standing with them and feels united with them in this unbearable grief. And, you know, man, do we ever need, you know, wise elders to kind of guide us through this and tell us how to respond.
Jeffrey Wright, who plays Papa in the new Disney Pixar animated film The Good Dinosaur, says that the attacks on Paris, because of its status as a world cultural center, are an attack on all of humanity.
I just want to express a sense of solidarity with the people there, and also just express the need as well for real strength right now for all of us, and working together to try to bring this to an end.
Veteran actor William Shatner says he doesn't understand how Islamic extremists hope to further their cause by killing innocent people.
If you shoot someone, even if I don't even know them, because you're trying to convince me that what you think is right, I don't know how that works. The only thing it arouses in me is fear and resentment, suspicion and distrust, and ultimately hate.
Several films have also altered or canceled their release plans. The terrorism-themed movie Made in France was scheduled for release November 18th, but that has been postponed. Monday night, cast members of the final Hunger Games film wore Mockingjay pins adorned with ribbons in the colors of the French flag at a subdued premiere in Los Angeles. I'm David Byrd in Washington.
You've been listening to International Edition. Please stay up to date on all the latest developments by stopping by our website, voanews.com, or listening to one of our International Edition programs that we broadcast around the clock. We're also on Twitter, our handle at @VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, our engineer, Cornelius Tenner. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day today.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The American people stand in solidarity with the people of France in the wake of the recent and tragic terror attack in Paris. 129 people were killed in a string of coordinated assaults across the city Friday evening. U.S. President Barack Obama called the attacks an outrageous attempt to terrorize innocent civilians.
This is an attack not just on Paris. It's an attack not just on the people of France, but this is an attack on all of humanity and the universal values that we share.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry echoed the president's remarks, noting these are heinous, evil, vile acts. Those of us who can must do everything in our power to fight back against what can only be considered an assault on our common humanity. France is our oldest ally, said President Obama. The French people have stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States time and again. President Obama noted that the American people draw strength from the French people's commitment to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness.
Now, we want to be very clear that we stand together with them in the fight against terrorism and extremism. We're going to do whatever it takes to work with the French people and with nations around the world to bring these terrorists to justice and to go after any terrorist networks that go after our people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.